As always, even though the introduction says two guys gaming, this is one guy reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noobs Book Club. Hello and welcome. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to Dragons of Destiny, the latest book from Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman in the Dragonlance saga. This is the final episode. I'm going to cover the final chapters from 37 on to 44. I will do what I normally do, and I will give a recap of the chapters, and then I will give some thoughts about those chapters. And at the end, I will try not to cry because the series is over, and we have to wait another year or so for the next book. But I do have the Dragon Republic lined up next, so hopefully now that I've gotten back into the swing of things, I can continue to record and bring you regular episodes again. As always, thanks for staying with me through those 2 month hiatuses. As mentioned, we will cover chapters 37 through 44 on to the end of the book. Chapter 37. Destina and Cairn race to stop Mollen Tully's assassination of Huma, but history has already shifted. Commander Belgrave is dead, and the timeline hinges on their intervention. As Tully prepares to stab Huma with a poison dagger under the guise of quote-unquote fixing his strap, Destina defies Raistlin's warning and unleashes the Grey Gem's power. In a burst of paradoxical energy, parenthetically both, quote, loud and silent, bright and dark, end quote, and parenthetical, the gem twists Tully's attack back onto himself, leaving him dead by his own blade. The scene crackles with tension. Huma and Gwenna's fate hangs in the balance. Tychesis finally senses the Grey Gem's location after being distracted by those in the present, future, whatever you want to call it. And Destina realizes her control over chaos comes at a cost. Yet, victory is short-lived. As lava bombs rain down on the courtyard, Destina is separated from Cairn and struck unconscious, only to wake in Palanthas's temple face-to-face with Tychesis. The Dark Queen's taunt, "You've led me to the Grey Gem," closes the chapter on a razor's edge. A lot going on in this chapter. Destina uses the Grey Gem, which leads Tychesis right to her. She kind of had to because of what was going on with Tully. And Tychesis is here, and I guess we'll see what happens in the next chapter. Not much of a cliffhanger, right? Because I'm going to read it right now, but maybe I'll pause it and walk away at this point to make it more of a cliffhanger. Chapter 38. Destina faces the Dark Queen in Palanthas' temple, barely escaping Tychesis' grasp when sunlight flares from Paladine's altar, a divine interruption. As Tychesis claws at her, a messenger arrives with news. Huma and Gwyneth have slain her Beluga dragons and her forces flee. Enraged, Tychesis transformed into her five-headed dragon form and abandons Destina to join the battle, but not before inflicting mortal wounds. Cairn arrives, battling Tychesis' demonic messenger in a brutal staff fight. With Destina dying, he uses the device of time journeying, but instead of returning to Astonis, he diverts their path to the end of the last home in 351 AC, where Goldmoon and the companions are fleeing goblins. Will the blue crystal staff be able to heal Destina? Chapter 39. Goldmoon, guided by instinct, parenthetically, and the gods, touches Destina with the staff, its blue light sealing her wounds. A callback to the healing in the original trilogy. Also, Taz using it to heal Flint, etc., so on and so forth. Raistlin observes intently, sensing the staff's power. Taz, ever curious, accidentally picks up the Grey Gem from the leaves, but returns it after a scolding from Tanis. That could have gotten crazy, huh? Destina and Cairn slip away as the companions flee to Tika's house. With the Grey Gem's chain reforged, they depart for Asinus's library, but not before Destina tearfully thanks Taz. "You saved the song." That's all Taz ever wanted to do, was save the song. And he did it. He is a hero again. Chapter 40. Dalamar and Justerius visit Alice Raniker, whose whim is cool inventions, a laundry flinging machine, tomato soup stirred by a spectral hand, mask her genius. We met her before. We know that she's kind of crazy, but she's also very smart. She's the one who fixed the device, after all. She reveals the quote-unquote infinity box, a heptagonal, seven sides. You believe it? Seven sides. Prison, with mirrors that trap the gray gem in infinite reflections. Chaos can't escape as if it's busy staring at itself inside of the box. The wizards debate Alice's quote-unquote string theory of time. I thought that was kind of a nice touch, bringing in some of the more modern interpretations of physics into the book. And Dalamar confesses his vision of Chaos Unleashed, a blue screen creature. Chapter 41. Destina and Karen arrive at Astonis' library, bloodied and leaf-strewn. Bertram's horror at their dishevelment is a rare comic beat for him. Destina surrenders the Grey Gem, and Astonis records its imprisonment in his tome, but his version differs from what we witnessed. In the new timeline, he writes, an unnamed woman, parenthetically Destina, stops Tali instead of Belgrave. Sturm and Raistlin are no longer in the records. So time is more or less back where it should be. Also, the knights memorialize the woman with a rose emblem. Chapter 42. Dalamar delivers the Infinity Box to the Tower of High Sorcery, where the gods of magic convene. They banish the Grey Gem to a vortex deeper than time, but Nuitari hints Takisis let it go, fearing it would consume her. Dalamar's final moment in the book is haunting. Alone in his study, he hears the ticking of Raniker's clock. Does that mean that chaos is truly contained? Or will time, again, be altered by its force? Chapter 43. Destina and Karen return to Salamnia, where Saber the Copper Dragon reveals he bought Castle Rosethorn with a diamond from his horn. With a diamond from his hoard, hidden under junk. I thought it was pretty, but the setting was ugly. Atieno, guided by Shizlev, has already begun rebuilding the Rose Tower. Destina comes back and she walks the battlements where she once fought goblins, now a guardian like her father. Her wedding to Karen, officiated by Atieno, symbolizes reconciliation with her past. The very last words spoken to her, welcome home, the Lady of Castle Rosethorn. She finally achieved her destiny, so to speak. Chapter 44. Taz, barred from the library again, sneaks in to confront Astonis. He alone remembers both timelines, Huma's fall and victory, a paradox that Astonis simply calls divine favor. Gwyneth's Elspeth sneeze curse, blocking all the Grey Gem mentions, proves that both memories are real. Though his friends dismiss his tales, Taz chooses joy. A friend listens to stories they don't believe. His final line, no road is ever old, perfectly captures the spirit of Dragonlance and the adventurous spirit of Mr. Tasselhoff Burfoot. So my initial thoughts are that the ending was a nice payoff to the rest of the book. There were some callbacks to the original series and that were slightly unexpected. I didn't get Raistlin's full redemption arc. And there's even some hint that he's back to his old self and he'll continue the negative path or whatever. But who knows? I like to think that he figured things out and that he's doing okay for himself. But that's just my personal optimism, I suppose. Destina was the hero, but she's not named as the hero, which is kind of a cool little touch as well. In that she doesn't become a knight necessarily herself, but her story will no doubt go on to inspire other knights to do great things. I knew where they were getting with the whole saber thing. It was still fun to go through it and realize the payoff that was what I was expecting, that he bought the castle and that he was going to give it to Destina for a wedding present and all that stuff. I mean, they tipped their hand pretty heavily, but again, I like the way that they did it, and I thought it was fun just reading through that part. Who knows what's going to happen with the timeline, whether it's actually truly fixed, or whether Chaos broke it, or even whether Chaos may somehow find a way out. The Dark Queen doesn't want the Grey Gem, but that's not to say that somebody else might come along and go into the black hole or whatever it ended up being. I think it's heavily inferred that it's a black hole, which again was another kind of cool remark about physics these days. There's no real new characters here. There's actually no new characters. I don't know why I said there's no, not really any new characters. There's no new characters here. There is some character development. Crap. I forgot what I was going to say. What the character development was. Oh well. So there's no new characters, and the character development was mainly just with the story as the story went along, that Destina fulfilled her destiny. That's probably why her name is that. You know, Karen came along to help her out. Gold Moon used the... Oh, I think that's what I was going to say, is that Gold Moon and River Wind were back, even if only for a short period of time, to heal Destina and get her back to her present time. A little bit of world building here, mainly just with the Infinity Box that Alice built, that kind of, again, increased the way that they deal with some of the new things that have come in through physics and that sort of thing, like the black hole, and talking about string theory, and at the end where they talk about the time paradox, you know, for the longest time travel really didn't talk about that kind of stuff. It was just like, oh, you go back and you're back to the future it, or you quantum leap it. I've talked about those numerous times over the length of the books and the podcast, but I like how they kind of brought it all back and weaved in some of those other things. Who knows? Like I say, maybe if they come out with another anthology, Alice Raniker will be in there and they could talk about all of her wonderful inventions that have helped the life of those in Kryn. And who knows, maybe she rebuilds her dad's clock and we get some kind of craziness happening there. The pacing of this part of the book was perfect. It started off where it left off. That quick pace of Destina saving Huma, then having to face off against the Dark Queen, and then Huma and Gwyneth prevailing, the Dark Queen almost killing Destina, Karen coming in, Karen taking her to the end of the last home, her getting healed, them coming back, them returning everything, then things start to slow down a little bit with the two mages going to get the box and give the box to Asinus, and then the Grey Gem being put into the box and Dalimar taking it to the gods. And, you know, it was just that perfect little falling action into the end of the story where you get a little bit of craziness and a little bit of unexpected, quote unquote, with Saber the Dragon, and then with Tasselhoff at the end, where is he going to make it into the library? Of course he's going to make it into the library. He does all of that, and then they resolve it, quote unquote, more or less, although they do leave some of it open in case later on somebody wants to come by and pick it up. What I liked least, the main thing that I liked least is that, as I said earlier, I didn't really get Raistlin's full redemption arc that I had hoped. I mean, he showed glimpses of being a better person as he went through, but then when Destina went back to the end of the last home, it looked like things were maybe going to proceed back to where we get the evil Raistlin and he, you know, defies the gods and tries to challenge the gods and tries to become a god and all the other nonsense that we had to deal with the original trilogy. I always liked Raistlin. You know, looking back, it's probably one of those problematic teenage things that you look at now and you're like, ooh, that probably wasn't the best that I looked up to that guy. But now that I'm older, I wanted to see him come back and fully redeem himself. While he didn't do that, I got some glimpses of that during the rest of the book and the rest of the series, so I will take that for what it's worth. And who knows, like I said, they left it open. They may come back, write some more. Maybe we get... Yeah, I'll just leave it there. Pause. Turn page. Pause. What I liked best. As I said before, you don't cry because it's over. You smile because it happened, or, you know, whatever you want to say there. I like the ending. Some people will probably say it was a bit rushed. I understand that point of view. You know, you always get that when you get to an ending like this where it's like so much is happening for so long and then all of a sudden it's just over. But I mean, it was going to end how it was going to end, and they just had to get us there. And I think they did a good job of getting us there so that when it did end, even though it may have been quick, I don't feel like it was abrupt or that it was forced or that it was anything like that. So I like the ending that they came up with it. I like the fact that they leave some open threads at the end here, which allows people's brains like mine to just kind of churn over it and think about it a little bit and say, what could they do going forward if they're going to do anything going forward? I don't know how old Weiss and Hickman are. I don't know if they've passed their notes on to anybody. I think the guy, I can't think of his name, but I know he was going to put together a Dragonlance TV show at one point, which just kind of fell apart. So maybe he's got the notes and maybe he can put together a team to start writing if Weiss and Hickman, you know, either get old or get sick of it or what have you. But either way, you know, it seems like Dragonlance books are, again, back to stay. And hopefully we get a lot of stories going forward. I know we have at least one more trilogy coming from Weiss and Hickman next year with Huma. And maybe some people will fill in some of the blanks over the next year or maybe even after. We'll see. And now for my final thoughts. It's over, folks. What can I say? It's a finale that honors what Dragonlance is all about. You know, redemption, honor through sacrifice, the chaos versus order. You know, when chaos gets too powerful, order comes in to take care of it. When order gets too powerful, chaos rises up and you just constantly have this ebb and flow and up and down of chaos, order, good, evil. One thing that will stick with me forever from the original Dragonlance books is that good will always win because evil will always eat itself from the inside out. And that is what keeps me going in spite of the fact that things are kind of dark right now, is that I keep looking for those little glimpses of hope that evil is eating itself again so the good can start to rise and we can build a better lives for ourselves and our kids. I love the books. I know people on the internet trademark probably didn't like them. In fact, I've read a couple of Reddit reviews that people didn't like them. But hey, you know, I am an easy mark. I've said that numerous times. I love the books. I didn't like the first one especially, but it grew on me eventually. And then the other two, I think, really brought things home for me and made me feel like that kid again, reading the books for the first time and discovering this world and getting lost in this world and realizing that there is a place for me, even if that place maybe is fictional. It's one of the things I say to my kids. I ask them where they want to live and they've asked if they could live, you know, in fictional places. And I say, who am I to take that away from you? So wherever you exist, wherever you're most comfortable, you know, live there, be well. And I will catch you next time. That's what I always say at the end, but I'm not quite done yet because I have to do the outro. Anyway, as always, thanks for listening. You can find us if you haven't already at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles. I'm only doing one article a week now, but I think the articles have been pretty good. The last one I did was just a visual article of the comics from April 2025. Before that, I did a Noob's Guide to Gaming. Before that, I did, Terraria, Minecraft, Spring Games that I was having some fun with. We also have a YouTube. I haven't been as active on that. I've been doing about a video a week there as well, and a shorter week there. Although I think I skipped last week because things were getting a little crazy at the end of the week where I normally record. Also have TikTok. I'm doing pretty well on TikTok. I think I finally found my niche. I sent a message to Chris. I said, you're going to make fun of me, but I think I finally found my niche. It's Warhammer Minis on TikTok. I've been steadily building a following. I'm up to 35, 36, maybe 40 followers at this point. I had my first 1,000 view video ever, which was pretty neat. And it's got something like 120 something likes or something like that too. So yeah, I definitely found my place. It seems like some of my other videos average around 200 views, which is still pretty good for, you know, somebody who just kind of does this for fun, I think. We're also on an Instagram, Facebook, but who the hell uses Facebook anymore? It's all AI bots, and yeah, it's pretty much just AI bots at this point. And there's a couple of people from my past that still hang out there, so I hang out there every once in a while too. Who knows? Maybe they're AI bots at this point too. I will be back with this series probably this weekend. We'll do the first episode of The Dragon Republic by R.F. Kuang to follow up on the Poppy War, which I did last year. And you can see the rest of the books for the rest of the year in the show notes. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys. We are...